together. Matthew 7, 6. Amen? Amen. On the count of three. One, two, three. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise God. And so we see this is Jesus here. Just a brief reminder, Jesus is given the Sermon on the Mount. And we have looked at some things in chapter 5. We have looked at some things in chapter 6. But this is chapter 7. So he's bringing his sermon to a close. And he has just given us 5 verses about judging people and how we shouldn't be judging others. And so in verse 6, he kind of starts to speak in somewhat of a parable. And so it's important for us just to break this down just for a second to see what God is speaking or what Jesus was speaking to the people at the time. And so the topic or the subtopic for this Matthew 7 series today is value what is holy. Value what is holy. And so Jesus starts by saying, do not give what is holy to the dogs. You're not supposed to give what is holy to the dogs. In the Amplified, it says, do not give that which is holy, the sacred thing, to the dogs. And then he says, nor cast your pearls before swine. And he gives us a bit of a warning. If you do that, lest they trample them underfoot. So if you give what is holy to the dogs and you cast your pearls before swine, then they're going to trample them underfoot and turn and tear you in pieces. And so there's a lot to unpack here because we're thinking you should be asking yourself, what is holy? What is this thing that we're not supposed to give away to dogs and swine? We'll get to the dogs and swine in a little bit. But what is this thing that is holy? What is holy is God's word. What is holy is God's will. What is holy is his inspired spoken word. And so Jesus says, don't take our words, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and give what that thing is that is precious, that should be valued, to the dogs. Don't do it. And he says, nor cast your pearls. In this context, pearls are words of great value. So don't cast your pearls or words of great value to swine. And dogs are men of impure minds. So if you're dealing with a person with an impure mind, you're not supposed to give God's holy word to that person. Now, there's a distinction between dogs and swine and those who are not saved and those who are not trying to be saved. And so Jesus is asking you to discern or let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you as you deal with other folks to know who should be planted to and watered to so that he can get the increase. Amen. Because there's no need in planting seed in hard ground. There's no need in planting seed in wasteful ways. And so a lot of times as believers, we feel like it's our obligation to take the gospel to the world, and it is. But the Bible also lets us know that everybody ain't gonna be saved. Amen. So even though it's our obligation, and not only that we plant and we water, but he gives the increase. So if I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase, and I'm not anything, and Apollos ain't anything, but he who gives the increase, then it's not even our responsibility to save anyone. We're just supposed to present the gospel to be the vehicle through which they hear, which means that we have to be very discerning when we are presenting the gospel, not to give what is holy to the dogs. God knows people's hearts. God leads through his Holy Spirit. God left us the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. So if the Holy Spirit is supposed to be leading us and guiding us, then he's going to lead us and guide us and let us know whether this is witnessing to someone or whether you are giving what is holy to the dogs, whether you are presenting the gospel and planting and watering, or whether you're casting your pearls, the value word, before swine. Because Jesus said, if you do that, they gonna trample on his word, and they gonna turn around and eat you up. And some of us wonder why we feel so extra persecuted when we're taking people or supposed to be saving people with the same, or bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's because we haven't been discerning whether we are just throwing God's word out there or whether we are actually planting and watering. Scattering seeds ain't planting. And in some contexts, yes, you can just throw seeds on the ground, but a lot of time you waste a lot of products if the soil is not in the condition to receive the seeds. And so if we're planting and we are watering to ensure that the soil stays in the condition for prime growth, then we have to do that in a place that's been prepared for it to go. And it's not our responsibility to prepare. It's our responsibility to plant and water and go. It's God's responsibility to prepare people's heart. Think about your own journey to salvation. How many of y'all heard the word of God for the first time and got saved the first time you heard the word of God? If that's your testimony, raise your hand. And it could be, but most of us, it took some time. It took the proper conditions. It took repetition. And then somebody planted. Most likely you had heard the word at some point, but it wasn't until God made your heart ready to receive him that you were able to receive him. But it still took some human to come along and do their part to bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And all Jesus is saying is, you cannot give what's his that is holy to those who are of an impure mind, because those of an impure mind are not going to receive him as Lord and Savior. It's not for him. And you know, we live in the society where we are constantly faced with people who want to talk about everything and talk through everything and argue everything and discuss everything. Some people, for their jobs, get on TV and the radio and just argue with people for hours. That's their job, in front of others, so that others have something to think about it. This society makes us feel like we all have a right to have an opinion about everything. And so when you're living in the sort of society where everybody feels like they have the right to say whatever they want about whatever they want, and you're taking the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that which is holy, the fact that Jesus came to earth after Adam and Eve sinned, to die for our sins, was resurrected on the third day, rose with all power in his hand to give us eternal life. There are some that don't even believe that God exists. There are some that don't even believe that Jesus is real. Some people think this is just a myth. Some people think that the Bible is just a written book, a work of fiction. And so to those people, this word is not holy. So stop trying to stuff this word down everybody's throat, because it ain't for everybody. And you aren't the person to bring the word to everybody if it ain't for them, even if it is for them. A lot of times we have strong desire in our lives to see our loved ones be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But you may not be the planter or the waterer. And yeah, you can petition God. You can ask God to bring your loved ones to save, but it doesn't mean you got to do it. And I think we get in trouble with verses 1-5 with this judgment stuff because we make assumptions and we don't do verse 6. So if we assume, if I assume, I'm going to use Enoch, that Enoch, who is not saved, even though Enoch is saved, if I assume Enoch is not, who is not saved, is my person to get saved. Enoch might be a man of impure mind. He might fall into the category of dogs and swine. And I shouldn't be casting my pearls before him. But I keep trying to beat him upside the head because he's my nephew. He might be my blood relation nephew. I can pray to the Father that he be saved. But I may not be the planter or the waterer. It's God who gives the increase. So I have to pray, take my hands off it, and not get into disputation with Enoch about the things of God because Enoch doesn't understand the things of God. Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So unsaved people ain't gonna get it. And if they're not even about the business of having their heart open to get it, they're really not gonna get it. And they ain't trying to get it. And then you're trying to stuff this precious word down their throat, and they're giving it back to you and kicking your butt in it because you haven't been obedient to what God is telling you about planting and watering. Amen? Turn over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. It ain't the world. Oh, this world is rejecting the Lord. Everybody ain't going to get the Lord. And we ain't down to the other part where Jesus said, some of y'all going to call, Lord, Lord, you thought you was saved. And I'm going to say to depart from me, I never knew you. That's another week, another lesson. We're going to get there, though. You should be in Mark chapter 6. If you're in Mark chapter 6, say, I have it. We're going to be looking at verses 1-6, and I want you to read the words of Jesus in verse 4, the red, okay? Mark chapter 6, verses 1-6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these sayings? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, begin. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. Give God a praise offering for the word. So look at this. We talking about Jesus. Savior of the world, went home to take the gospel to his own people. And all they could say is, in this Mary and Joseph's son, in this Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and James' brother, aren't his sisters here? And they were offended at him. Jesus' own people were offended by what he was saying. And you think you better that you should cast Jesus' precious word to the swine or give what's holy to the dogs And look at what Jesus says in verse 4. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Which means that even him, in his own country, and with his relatives, could not effectively minister the gospel to that group. Because they didn't want to hear what he was saying because of who they perceived he was. If you have been saved, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, depending on the period of time that the people around you who love you have seen you, they may not be able to see the change in you. They may not be able to hear from you what thus says the Lord. And so your responsibility might be to pray and not to plant and water, because sometimes they can't hear it from you. But it doesn't mean that they can't hear it from someone else. So stay on your prayer game. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you regarding your family. And if he's not telling you to give them the gospel, leave it alone. Because you got to trust God that he's going to send the person to plant and water. And what if you were going to try to take too much ownership in their salvation? You brought them to the Lord. That ain't your job. Your job is to plant and water where the Lord directs you and allow him to give the increase, because maybe they can't see it in you. Maybe they know you a little too well to be able to see the gospel reflected in you at this time. And you remember the time before you were saved and after you were saved. There are just some things you didn't get before you were saved. There's some things you understand that now better by and by. But you didn't understand it when you didn't have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't expect those who are not saved to get it. Some of them may never be saved, and they may not want to hear it from you. But thank God that we're all in the business. It's not just my responsibility as a pastor to teach and preach the word. It's not just my responsibility to bring the word, because there's some that they're not going to hear from me. But that's why we're all in the vineyard. That's why we're all about the business of bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the places I can't be and can't reach, God has saved you to place you there. And there is someone that's going to be the people that you plant with and water with and watch God give the increase. Amen? Give God a praise offering. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. I didn't bookmark anything today. I'm flipping with you. Proverbs chapter 9. When you get there, say, I have it. Proverbs chapter 9. Do not give that which is holy, the sacred thing, to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before hogs, lest they trample upon them with their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10. I'm going to read 7. I want you to read 8, and then we're going to stop. And then we'll look at 9 and 10 in a little bit. 7, I'm going to read 7. I want you to read verse 8. Proverbs 9, 7. He who corrects a scoffer get shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Begin.
Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you.
Give God a praise offering for the word. And the word is saying, if you try to correct someone who is scornful of the advice that you are trying to give him, because this is Old Testament, so it's not really talking about the gospel explicitly, but the principle is the same. If you try to correct someone who's not in the business of being corrected, you're going to get shame for yourself, because you was the fool who tried to correct someone who didn't want to be corrected. Why are we wasting energy trying to bring holiness to people who's determined not to be holy? ain't no need for you to go to New Orleans and go down to Bourbon Street and lay hands and pour oil on them folks in the street that's about the business of not doing the right thing at the right moment. Because they're not even in the posture to receive the precious thing that you are giving. But we want to do it. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. You go down there. The Holy Spirit ain't tell you to go down there. You go down there. You got the people doing the voodoo, the hoodoo. And then the spirits that are on them jump on you because you're not in alignment with the word of God, not because God isn't more powerful, but you out there doing what you ain't supposed to do. Then you catch a demon, and then you out there in the streets doing what the other people doing. You bring harm to yourself. And it's that self-righteous thing in us that we have to let die. There's a song, and I've been looking for it, the official writer of the song, but I can't find it. Lord, slay the old nature that rises within me. Then mold me and make me anew. Then fill with thy spirit, thy precious sweet spirit, that I may bring others to you. There's a lot we got to kill in ourselves. Not because God hasn't told us how to go about this, but because we've allowed this institution called church to dictate terms about how we should treat other people instead of just doing what thus says the Lord. Then you find yourself in a situation and nobody wants to invite you to the family events because you too holy. How you too holy? Don't mean they gonna puff and pass the thing to you because they respect you, but you shouldn't be too holy. That shouldn't be the excuse. You act too sanctified. How is that glorifying God? If you look at the way that Jesus moved in the earth, Jesus was hanging out with the hookers. So if you want to be like him, you should be able to be like him. Amen. Not act in a way that is so pompous and self-righteous. It's not righteous. It's self-righteous that you can't be of good use to the people who are around you. So you can't live peaceably with all men because you think you're better than them. Not based on anything you've done. And not based on who God is. It's just you. So in the Amplified it says, he who rebukes a scorner heaps upon himself abuse. You abusing yourself by doing what you ain't supposed to be doing. And he who reproves a wicked man gets for himself bruises. Verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Don't correct those who don't want to be corrected, or else they just go end up hating you. But if you're rebuking someone who's wise, or if you're offering reproof or correction to someone who's wise, then they will love you. It's going to be received differently. So when you're talking and communicating with people, you have to determine whether they're scoffers or they're wise. Because wise people will eventually come around to accepting the thing of God. And we know how it is being saved. We know that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse from all unrighteousness. But we know we have things we have to confess our sins about because we be wrong. And then if one of our fellow believers comes and talks to us in love and gentleness and kindness like we talked about last week, then they know eventually we're going to receive what thus says the Lord. We're not going to hate them. We're not going to try to beat them up. So then you know what kind of person you're dealing with. Look at verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. If you want to know whether what you are sowing is what thus says the Lord is, look at how the person to whom you are addressing what you're addressing receives it. If they get wiser and they learn more, then it was supposed to be received. If not, you're dealing with a fool. And you're not supposed to be dealing with fools. That's a waste of your time and energy. And in this day and age, we don't have time to waste, because the signs of the time should be telling you that God's coming soon. And we need to be able to plant and water to everybody who's going to receive what thus says the Lord. That's what we're out here for, not just to throw it for everybody, but to give it to those who need to receive it. And so look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord, this is the reverential fear, not scared because you're scared of God, but this is about respect. The reverential, respectful fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you are seeking and speaking to people who are seeking to know who God is, then that's where you plant, and that's where you water, and that's where you give correction. Not to everybody. It ain't for everybody. Amen? Amen. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as you give God a praise offering. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Familiar scripture, our last scripture for today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when you get there, say, I have it.
I have it.
Y'all there, I ain't there. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17 together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. On the count of three. One, two, three. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. And so if you look at verse 16, I want you to pay attention to the commas. Because sometimes when we say this, we let it all run together. The first part of the phrase says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then it says, and is profitable. So what you need to do is add all scripture back to it. And all scripture is profitable for doctrine. All scripture is profitable for reproof. All scripture is profitable for correction. All scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. So now you got to look up and see what all the words mean. First, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everybody understands what that means, right? And it's profitable. Profitable means helpful or serviceable. It also means advantageous. Profitable means helpful or serviceable, advantageous. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that scripture is helpful or serviceable or advantageous for doctrine. So you gain an advantage, and the scripture is helpful for you for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching and instruction and learning, which means God's word is inspired and is helpful for you to teach you and to instruct you and for you to learn from it. That's the first thing. For reproof, reproof is conviction of sin. So the word is advantageous for you because it convicts you of sin. It's also advantageous for you for correction. Correction literally means a straightening up again. A straightening up again. So it doesn't mean you totally messed up where you came from, but it gets you straightened up. The word is your tune-up. It's why you have to take your car every 5 or 10,000 miles to get the oil change. It's a straightening up again. Why, when you get new tires, they tell you you need to get an alignment. Because you get something new, and your car can run, but it doesn't run smoothly, and you don't get the benefit of the new tire if you don't rotate, balance, and align those wheels. That's what the word is for. It's advantageous for you to straighten you up again when you get out of alignment with God's word. And then it says it's advantageous for instruction in righteousness. Instruction is education or training or chastening. If you go back to 2020 when we read the chastening of the Lord, go back and look at the whole book. The chastening, not punishment, but the correction of the Lord. Education or training. So the word is advantageous for these reasons. But you have to be susceptible to understand that you are to receive those things. If you're not in the posture to receive from the Lord, if you out there in them streets and you high, because you've taken something to get you high, you're not going to get it till you get off the high. We don't even try to talk to high folk. We don't try to talk to drunk folk. In fact, their words aren't even considered usable in a court of law because they know that the mental condition of the person is altered. Let that apply to all the situations where you off because you have been altered by the sin that's at work in your life. This doesn't even apply to you until you get back on the right path. So sometimes as we are dealing with one another, even our saved folks, if we see that our person, which is why the word tells us, if you see someone going to that sin, grab them and bring them back. Amen. With gentleness, but grab them and bring them back because we don't want them to go that far. It's a greater work that has to be done. And why would you let somebody... I saw the kids crossing the street this morning, and all the other kids were with Miracle, and they were just holding hands or whatever, and here comes King. He just jumps out of the car, and he just jets across the street. He ain't paused. He ain't look left. He ain't look right. He ain't look nowhere. But I look left and right, because I was about to throw my car out there if need be, because my car can get hit, but King can't get hit. So somebody needs to be watching your back. Because sometimes we just out there. And somebody needs to come and grab you. There is a way that people can come grab you. Amen. Say, let's talk about this thing. Be gentle. Be kind in the way you do it. But do it. Because that's what the love of God compels you to do. And if you're honest and truthful, that's what others have done for you. Somebody done came and reproved you, pulled you to the side, loved on you with the word of God, encouraged you in the Lord to give up some things that ain't for your good. That's how we grow and mature in the things of God. But we have to be susceptible to receive. Sometimes we done been pulled to the side and we ain't even heard a word that person said. Thank God for our spirits, me and our bodies, because our soul and body said, I'm still sleeping with that person. I don't care what they say. It's too good, and I ain't giving it up right now. It's just what it is. It be like that sometimes. I don't care what you say. I'm not giving up this food. And if we're really honest with ourselves, it's really about that food. If we discipline ourselves in the things that go in our mouth, we can discipline ourselves with everything else. Our sexual habits will come alive if we can get our food life together. But it's the simple things. Nobody's going to get on their high horse about your eating habits, even though it's killing you, because we all killing ourselves by the way we eat. So you're not going to get nobody to really condemn you about stuff that they doing. We can all do better with the things that we eat and consume. So ain't nobody standing up and preaching about that but me today. But when we get to the heart of our obedience, our discipline, our black and blueness, then we stop judging other people. We stop casting pearls before swine. And we do what God has called us to do, and we get busy about his business. Not just throwing his word at everybody and hoping that it sticks, but being purposeful in the way that we sow and reap. And look at verse 17 in the Amplified. It says, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why the scripture is given, so that we can be mature, complete, mature, thoroughly equipped, that we have more than enough for the good work that we need to do, so that we don't get trampled by the swine when we cast our pearls upon them, because we know better than to do that. We're wiser. And so God is really calling us to be more wise, to be more obedient to what he's saying as we move and communicate with one another and the world, so that we know when we're sowing, we're really sowing. And not just scattering seed, but that we're being purposeful, that it goes in good ground, or that we're watering on things that have already been planted that is also good ground, so that he can give the increase. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I need your help this morning.